Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your hosts Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with my co-hosts here.
Greetings, people of Earth.
Hello.
The hello and the greeting.
Hello.
Well, we want to welcome you to another episode of our little lunchtime gathering. You get lucky today. You get us for 90 minutes. We push the ante up. We'll see where we go, because last time we were on a roll, and we didn't quite get out what we wanted to get out. But how are you guys?
Good.
Was it almost, no, it's a little under 24 hours since we last were all together.
You know? And the rest of the world is still recovering.
We were on with Insights anchor show on Monday with Dave Rutland and Katie, myself, and Mark actually was, he was on that show too. We put him online, and the four of us were all, the disc jockeys were all together.
It's an alien transmission interception.
Yes, and it was a good show. It was a good show. I had a lot of good people responding, said they really loved that show yesterday, and they thought it was hilarious, and they thought it was very spiritual at the same time. And they loved the part where I made the disclosure where I said, if you don't like the show, then change the channel. There are millions of shows on the internet floating around.
Yeah, we can be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. That's an understatement.
Yes.
I'm showing Mark my new alien collection here. I've got E.T., and I've got little Mark with the football, Boba Fett, and I don't know if that's an alien or a monster. I can't tell. Looks like a space dude from the mighty something somethings. And that's Mark saying hello in his native tongue.
For all my space brothers and sisters listening out there.
Absolutely. So it's Tuesday, and this show is about, you know, hanging out with each other and talking about, you know, a little bit of astrology, a little bit of shamanism, a little bit Reiki, a little bit of everything. But usually we just kind of give a little bit of stuff that's on our mind and share with everybody. We usually don't do readings on this show, so if you're expecting a reading, you probably won't get one. Unless maybe we're called to give you one, but other than that, I just want everybody to know that so they don't get lost in the shuffle here and trying to wait for, you know, get in. We actually, we didn't even get the chance to get readings yesterday. We were so busy talking, we got carried away. As Katie's looking at my knife, my big knife.
I love knives.
That's my
I never argue
Rambo.
With a woman with a knife.
Yeah. You just never know. You might need it. You might have to whittle some wood, you know?
Here we go.
And we're not going to derail. No.
On already.
No. You know what? Now I know who's doing it. It's Katie. It's the female.
I'm going to learn how to carve. No, I used to carve when I was a kid. I'm going to whittle again.
It's our feminine energy who's over here.
That's right.
Our feminine goddess is the one who starts taking us off the road here.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm apostolic Pentecostal.
Yes,
I'm
love, light, peace, unity, true abundance.
I'm supposed to be holy. I'm full of holes.
Yeah, so that's true. That's a true statement. We all are full of holes. And we're always spewing something.
Sorry,
hopefully
to
it's
you
good
all
stuff.
Who come from a Pentecostal background, because I do too. So
I'm made of stars.
All the stars. Oh, I got to remember to talk a little louder. My voice is too soft sometimes.
Yeah, I just got to turn the mic down here to right almost. Yeah, there you go. That'll catch your voice a little better. Perfect. Perfect. So what's on the charts, man?
What's on the charts?
I know we're retrograde's coming up, right?
Mercury retrograde is coming up Saturday afternoon. So that gives us 3 weeks. It happens four times a year for roughly 3 weeks at a time. And it's a time where outward communications are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're planning anything for that time period, get all your details, reservations, tickets, whatever, your communication lined up beforehand. Because it's a time to listen to your inner voice and make sure you're communicating with yourself and communicating your messages to others very clearly, and sometimes you have to do it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So, astrologically overall, we are in a... It's kind of a slow period right now where we don't have a lot of the really intense things astrologically happening. Now there's still the solar flares and the other stuff are still jumping all over the place. So, but there's a lot of... October 23rd is the next big day astrologically, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some an eclipse and some other very, very interesting things happening on October 23rd. But right now, I mean, we're kind of in these, we kind of have these energy vortexes, like every 5 or 6 weeks we get a big upsurge of energy,
mm-hmm.
and then the period in between until the next big energy jump is about assimilating things. And I know last little energy bump up we had like a week up, I know there's still a lot of reverberations out there happening from it. I know a lot of people are undergoing some intense transformative things right now. So, you know, this is why we have our friends during these periods,
mm-hmm.
and this is why we have our security blankets and our people to help pick us up. So don't be afraid to call on others when you need help.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's I like how you end with that, because sometimes we're so, I don't know, afraid sometimes to ask, just because, you know, we don't want to give people the perception that we're hurting or something's going on. And you know, it takes a lot of courage to step out and to, you know, get vulnerable like that, because you do have to get let down your guard a little bit when you ask for help. And, you know, to ask for help is not a bad thing. It's just how you ask for help, I guess, is important,
right.
You know? Because, I mean, you can ask help for just about anything, but you know, when you're in true need, you know, you'll know, you know, especially, you know, when it's the time. There's some things that sometimes you have to wiggle through and get kind of sweaty with, and, you know, a little nervous with, and just kind of build you and mold you too, you know. Gets you into that place where it helps you become a stronger person, a little more understanding. Just start to look at things a little different and how to approach things, I think.
We're not given anything that we can't handle, but at the same time too, just because I can lift a 200-pound box doesn't mean that it's not nice to have help lifting it sometimes.
Right. That's true.
We don't have to go through everything.
What I was mentioning to Iggy earlier is, like, people call in about wanting relationship status and why do they, you know, they want a relationship. Do we see love in their future, and do we see someone as coming into their life? And it's just like, if you have a group of friends that you hang out with or people that you associate with a lot, then you don't feel so lonely, because we live in a lonely society now where people are so much into their electronic gadgets and into their job, per se, to where they don't get out and socialize and go to things with other people, unless it's like a, you know, big alcohol-related party or something where everybody's getting smashed, or just go out and have fun. Like, we've got a picnic coming up. We've got a sacred breath ceremony coming up. We have the Walk of the Peacemakers coming up. And usually, even with little stuff like what we do, we're always interacting and socializing with each other as a group. So we're, none of us are really lonely, per se, you know, because we're always, we're together a lot. Just hope we don't get sick of each other. Well, I don't think we get sick of each other at all either.
No, because we're away from each other enough, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you were like in our pocket 24/7, might be a little different. I don't know if you'd get sick, but we'd probably say, hey, you know what? I need a little space.
Right. Right. Right.
But it's the society where people just work, you know, go home, watch TV. They just do the same thing over and over. I asked someone online the other day, don't you have something you do for fun? Because I'm always getting the questions about, oh, your life, I see your pictures, your life looks so fun, you look like you're enjoying yourself. I'm like, yeah, because I get out and I live life. I don't have money, but I get out and I do things. The stuff we do, you don't need much money. And even there's times we do go out to eat or, you know, socialize. I mean, I'm one of those people, I'll get a cup of coffee and a salad. You know, if it's this $2.99 salad on the menu and I got $3, I'll go ahead and get a salad. And I do what's within my means. And there's always something you can do what's within your means, even when you go out and talk to people and socialize and have little groups. There's even meetup.com in our area. Most mm-hmm. places have meetup.com. There's even a group called meetin.org. And groups, Facebook groups, and different things now to where you can go out and be in groups of people and you can socialize if you don't belong to a church, synagogue, or some other kind of singles or couples or networking group. There's all kind of things out there to where you don't have to be lonely or sit in front of your computer 24/7 unless you're just that type of person.
Right.
So, but if you are that type of person, you know, more power to you. I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I want to give everybody the call-in number. It's 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. We're going to take a teeny little break, and we'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. All right, we're back here on With Insights Radio. It's Tuesday morning, cruising into the afternoon at noon. As I look over there, Mark always looks over to make sure he's not looking at somebody. But that's just my DJ mind, my visualization of lunch in my stomach because I haven't eaten breakfast yet. So it's going to that pumpkin cake you gave me. It's holding me down for like a little bit. So, yeah, but we were talking about relationships and how people get along, and you know, and it's a miracle sometimes that people can get along. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, I mean, everybody comes from a whole different personality groups, belief systems, and you know, you have to sometimes learn how to let down some guards and let down some parts of you because there are other people who were raised completely different. And other people who were, you know, just raised in a whole different manner. And so, yeah, I find it interesting sometimes because, and we've all talked about this in the past, you know, how some people just said that we walk around naked in the house and we do this and we do that, or you know, we pray before we eat, you know, just different things. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends, you know, I'm like, you know, I pray for my food. They're like, why do you pray for your food? And just little subtleties like that. And there's been times I've asked you guys to pray with me mm-hmm. over our yeah. food. And, you know, I mean, no one's rejected. I mean, and I, you know, I mean, they could if they wanted to. But I think it's pretty pretty interesting because regardless if I'm praying whatever I'm praying, you're thinking whatever you're thinking. So, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to that point. Go ahead, Mark. You got that big-ass grin on your face.
Sometimes it's fun to walk around naked in other people's houses, too.
This is a PG-13 station.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, we are in the internet, so we have a little more freedom about what comes out of our mouth from time to time. We do try to keep it clean, but, you know, it just doesn't happen sometimes. It just doesn't happen.
Real talk.
Real talk, real people, right?
Yeah.
Robots couldn't figure out, they couldn't have this conversation like we are.
But yeah, what Katie was saying about the meetup groups and stuff, I mean, there's whatever area you're in. I'm in at least a half dozen meetup groups. I run a couple. And, you know, it's all across the board, from political stuff to spiritual stuff to, you know, about anything you're interested in. It's a great way to meet, you know, everybody. It's easy to feel secluded and cut off with how the world is now.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start interacting with people, and it's amazing. You find so many people that have similar interests and similar beliefs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're a little bit different, then, you know, you get to discuss and, share opinions and stuff. And that's how we evolve ideas and mm-hmm. things, is by sharing information with each other. Because, you know, like we said, none of us, I don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers, but everybody's, has their own little bits of information they know, and
mm-hmm.
you share those with people, and, you know, it's kind of working with others to fill in the puzzle.
And, you know, the thing is, no one ever really agrees 100% on everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that was true, it would be
a boring
planet. We wouldn't need everybody, you know. We would just be a planet of one. But it's good that at least you can come to, you know, a common ground. And I think that's what happens. But within that common ground, there's also people who are, they kind of push their agenda a little bit too. So that's something that I try not to do when I'm around my friends. I try to, you know, incorporate everybody to get involved and do things. But sometimes things get defaulted either on Katie, you, or whatever. People just default on certain people to do things. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm in default mode, so I got to decide what we're going to do. But it's good to see that at least people in our group take leadership roles. You know, they'll do a picnic. She did a picnic. We talked about it. And Dave and I probably would still be talking about it, but Katie went ahead and did it. You know, she went ahead and said, on the 18th, we're free. Check the calendar. And I, vice versa, David or I, we all kind of move along the border like that. And that's what you kind of want. You know, people who are proactive versus, you know, people who are just waiting around to get led. I'm not much, I mean, there's moments I do get, you know, I'm part of the group, and there's times that I'm in leadership roles. And even within a leadership role, you can learn a lot from people. So
yeah,
that's important. I do want to give a plug to a couple of people who are also have radio shows on this network. I want to give Ananda Love a plug. Her shows are on Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called The Love Channel. And then Mud Toe at midnight, Fridays Eastern Time. So it's Friday going into Saturday, which is, we had a big discussion here and I about this, but it's Mud Toe at midnight. Perfect good show, half hour, so talks about his life and where he was at. He was here yesterday listening to the show that we did, and he was cracking up. So plug into those folks as well, and then, of course, Monday we have our show.
Yeah, just give a, I know we kind of give a offhand plug to Meetup, but when I was in New York City, I lived in New York City for 7 years. I got there, I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And except the people, my coworkers, the people I worked with, and then I learned the people in the building I lived with, because people are very friendly in New York, contrary to television shows and some of the other stuff. I didn't find people to be rude, or it's a fast moving paced place. But I started going to meetup groups when I was in New York. And me and another young lady, we ran a meetup group for BBWs. We call them Big Beautiful Women and Admirers. And we would get some weird people in the group that were just coming to, you know, see if we were, you know, desperate. You know, some guys and stuff. But we were a very sophisticated group. Everybody was classy and dressed nice. We would go to Broadway shows, movies, out to dinner, just different places all of us wanted to go to, but we were afraid to go alone if we didn't want to go by ourselves. And we would get, we would arrange to where we got good seating, discount tickets. Sometimes we'd get limousine rides or be at a premiere somewhere. And my friend who was a part of that too, her name is Aaliyah, she would get us into... One time we got a big stretch limousine and we went to a premiere of something, and we were on the red carpet and people were like, who are these people? You know,
mm-hmm.
flashes were going and the cameras and the paparazzi, and here's all about five or six big women dressed to the nines getting out of this limousine, walking up the red carpet. And they were like, who are they? And we were really nobody to the show business or the Hollywood scene, but we acted like we were Hollywood.
Just waving.
Yeah, waving and just going into to this premiere and so, having fun.
Paparazzi's doing their internet search.
Yes.
And even VIP at some of the dance clubs and stuff. It was just like, it was fun. So life is what you make it. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be wondering about. And we would get people dancing with us. I would go places I never had to buy my own drinks or anything like that. And it was just a nice experience being a part of that group and being in knowing people. And then we would go on cruises, like weekend cruises and different things, because we made it happen. So if you're out there and you're lonely, make it happen. Start a group. Start a club. Start a society. Make it happen for yourself. Don't let life happen to you, but you make life happen.
Good. Excellent. Sing daily for at least 10 minutes reduces stress, clears your sinus, improves your posture, and can even help you live longer. Facebook post I wanted to share.
However, when I sing, it raises the stress in other people.
Come on, Mark. Maybe one person.
But yeah, you know, like Katie was saying too, I mean, it's easy, and like you were saying too, Iggy, it's easy to get reactive and stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I've had a lot of friends that were looking for jobs and things like that, and like, I don't see anything. And it's like, you know, sometimes you have to go, you know, there's a reason there's not a meetup group out there that has what you're looking for, or that there's not a job out there that exactly fits your skill set. And sometimes that reason is because you're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. If you have a unique set of skills or something, or you see something that there's not a job out there, now you create your own, you know. If you see something that you think society needs, then you're probably not the first person that's thought, hey, that's a good idea. So, you know, sometimes if you're looking for a meetup group on something, maybe there's 15 other people out there in your area that have looked and couldn't find anything, that, you know, start your own.
Yeah.
And then you, as you put your energy out there, as I'm finding to a ridiculous extent, as you put your energy out there, you draw in similar
right.
energies. You draw in like-minded people. You draw in the things, as your energy resonates out, you draw in things to you that you need.
Yeah, good friends are like stars. You don't always see them, but you know they're out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, it's one of those quotes I like.
Awesome.
But it's true, you know, you start something. You know, I'm just, you know, me and going, my mind's going through a lot of thinking about crazy stuff right now. I'm bored. Meetup group, you know, let's go do something meetup, you know, but there's all kinds of stuff. I think that's cool. So how do you find friends? Meetups isn't the only way, but it seems to be one of the ways that we've kind of, our society's kind of shifted to a little bit, and to some extent, because it's kind of a, we've been kind of raised that, you know, we have to avoid the creeps, you know,
right.
society.
Right.
So don't, the biggest thing is don't talk to strangers, you know, be careful who you associate with, you know, but I understand those things, but there's a time where you also have to step out of your shell a little bit and kind of at least say hi to somebody. It might be something that is very valuable. I hear all the time, well, I don't talk to strangers. I don't do this. I don't friend anybody on Facebook. But I get that, too. I understand that.
You got to be friendly also.
And there's a point also that you know when someone's creeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You can feel it.
You can feel it. You know it. So you can kind of like, you know, like on Facebook, you can delete the guy or the woman who starts crossing those lines. You know when they cross the lines. But I'm pretty good about, you know, friending everybody. And once in a while, you get some freaks in there.
Right.
And that's life. You get freaks in life.
Right, right.
But the advantage here, this freak, at least he's like 10,000 miles away. You know?
Right.
You know,
right.
You can meet someone down the street and they only live 5 blocks from you. And that's kind of weird, you know.
Right. Your neighbor may.
Yeah. But look, I mean, you look out this door, you know, and a lot of people who are out here, I mean, I really don't know my neighbors. I just moved. I've been here a year almost now. And I really don't know my neighbors. Number one, I don't see them very often. Number two, the only lady who waves to me is the lady across the street. She's really cool. She walks her dog.
Mm-hmm.
But this lady just started waving to me recently, and this guy, I just try to avoid him. I don't know, something wrong with that guy. Maybe it's just a mere reflection. I don't know. Maybe he thinks something weird about me. But at least we attempted. You know, there was an attempt. And you know, just because your neighbors doesn't mean you have to be friends. But to find friends, there's different ways to find friends. Sometimes we're driving down the road, you can wave at somebody at the light. You know, they might. That's enough. Mm-hmm. Go to the store. I mean, people, I see this all the time. People just act like they don't, like there's nobody there. Like they're the only one shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that? They're pushing the cart and they're just like, tunnel vision. It's like,
hey, I'm one of those people walk and say, hey.
I must have been a good dog in a past life. Hey, how you doing?
Or I'll talk to someone looking at melons and, you know, I know how to, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. What? I didn't say anything.
You know how you can tell a good melon or a pineapple or something if you smell the navel of it or something. I'm sorry. So, you know.
Hey, somebody. I don't know why she's laughing. I'm laughing because she's laughing.
No, your face. But
I'm just smiling.
I'm shopping and I'm getting myself some fruit, and there's someone who's just like, you know, trying to see, and I'm like, you tell a good melon, and then you give some information to the person next to you on how to tell a good ripe piece of fruit or if it's not ripe yet, you know. So I'm, you know, nice looking guy. I'm like, oh, you can smell it right here. Well, you know, there's ways to drum up conversation with someone.
Yes.
I mean, I've gone on a date with someone because I saw him in the fruit department at the grocery store. I mean, that's stupid, but it, you know.
I don't know why it's funny, but I'm laughing.
I know. It's because you're feeling melons or something.
Oh, no. Let's go to the vegetable department, man. a lot easier.
No, but people always say that, or they mention it on TV or something. But it does work. It kind of works if you're grocery shopping and you just say,
no, that's true. I heard that.
I kept running into this one guy in a grocery store before, and about the third or fourth time I ran into him, I'm like, you know, he knew my name because of like, I'm like, hi, I keep running into you. How you doing? You know. And then I went out with him once, and he's a nice guy, big, tall. I like a big, you know, about 6'2" or 6'3".
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. We are back from the grocery store. No, I know what you mean, Katie. I know what you mean.
Okay, you can meet people anywhere.
Sure. I mean, at the deli department, the bread aisle, you know. I don't know. Cashing. The cashier's checking out. That's usually when I say hi to people, usually when I'm cashing out, like when I'm leaving. Because I think people are kind of like, ready to leave. And that's when those stressful time in the grocery store. You're waiting in line. You're like the fourth or fifth person. And, you know, then when you get to the conveyor belt, you're like, yeah, I'm on the conveyor belt. Hey, what's up? What's going on? And you're talking to the guy behind you. Yeah, I'm getting ready to leave. You know, and then the cashier's like, and you always talk about food. Oh, yeah, I've tried that before. You ever talk to people about the things they're buying?
Yeah, and I'm one of those. I look in their cart to see if they're getting a bunch of junk food or good wholesome food. So I hate that. I know that's kind of judgmental, but I'm one that's trying to do better for myself health-wise. So I'm kind of like, I look at mine, I get all nice, fresh stuff, and then they got all the boxed GMO foods.
But that's where they're at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they know.
But it's a good way to meet people is at the grocery store. Talk, drum up a conversation. To get friends, you must be friendly.
Yeah.
That's one of the basic things, you know, unless you belong to the Grumps Club.
The
Grumpy People Club. And if you are a grumpy person and kind of irritable and mean, you can start your own club for grumpy people.
The grumpy people. I like that. The irritable group.
Y'all got irritable
bowels. Where's that alien? Put him on real quick.
You know, group for constipated folks. What do you got to say, Mark. You're shaking your head. I know.
Life is like a box of pizza.
No, but she's right. But I try to do that too now. I was at Half Price Books yesterday, looking for a couple of research books and stuff. And so it is. I mean, you see somebody looking at something or trying to, you know. You can tell they're trying to decide on stuff. If it's something you know about or whatnot, say, mm-hmm. "Hey, that's a good book," or you know, "That's crap. This one's better." Or I do that a lot. If I'm at the record store or the bookstore or something, if I see somebody, you know, maybe they're. I mean, 'cause I know I go into places and I'm just like, I'm lost. I don't know what the heck this. You know, especially if you're reading ingredients or something on a box or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Help somebody out a little bit who looks ponder, and then you'll get someone else. Do you work here? No, I'm just helping this other person out.
Right.
You know, but what do you need help with? You know.
Mm-hmm. I do that all the time. Like when somebody doesn't, you know they blatantly don't work there, but they're like, you know, they're fiddling around like they look like they're working there. Excuse me, can you tell me what aisle? And they're like, oh, I don't work here. But we both like try to figure it out together. You know, but you have to do that sometimes.
Help another person.
I've helped
out.
People thing. I tell people at Lowe's and stuff bring things off the shelves and things because you know it's the right thing to do sometimes.
Mhm. And then you can exchange business cards sometimes. You can tell when the opportunity is right to give out some information or not give out some information, or whether a person is open or they're closed to certain
mm-hmm.
things. So. And I'm one of those people, I'm, hi, how are you? You know, how your day going? How you doing? You know, and I get some strange looks sometimes.
Yeah.
But sometimes people need, you can tell they need someone to give them a smile or talk
mm-hmm.
to them or make their day. Or one time I walked up to someone, I said, it looks like you need a hug today. Would you like a hug? And I've had someone that did need a hug. And the person held on for dear life almost.
I would have said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Let's get some food.
But you never know when you're going to impact somebody's life for the positive,
mm-hmm.
for the higher good. Someone out there who is lonely or hurting or needs what you have,
mm-hmm.
but in a good way, not a creepy way.
You can exchange produce with them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Should we need a drum roll for that one? We don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. True?
Yes. Perception is relative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the three of us could be looking at the same object and see it from a whole different perspective, different point of view. And just from you from sitting there looking over here, it's just a whole different view. Same in me looking one at the control board and none, two not. It's a whole different thing. But life's like that, too. You know, perceptions are kind of skewed in a sense. Because I always have this statement, you know, life is perfect. It's just how our perceptions of life. You know, life is designed to do its thing. And then how we interpret life, you know, is a huge key, huge factor on how we navigate through life. You know, I mean, I'm going to go out there a little bit. I'm going to go take this conversation a little bit deeper because I really believe that sometimes I don't know what the true right answers of anything is. You know, we have a lot of faith that what we've been taught and what's been given to us is the right way. You know, because we're in the back. You know what I'm saying? We're the deep. It's like multi-level marketing. Let's just make it real simple. Somebody started this stuff, and it's trickled its way down over the centuries. And we've carried these traditions. We've carried these beliefs. We've carried all these things. Forever, for a long time, since this man has been here. And I usually don't talk about this, but I thought it was important because I sat in bed last night thinking, well, how do we know that's right for that person? Or how do I know if that's right? I know it's right for maybe for me, but how do we know if it's even right at all? And I'm talking about, you know, just modern day religion. I'm talking about, you know, the things we talk about. You know, did someone make this crap up? I mean, is this real? I mean, we want to have faith and we want to believe that, you know, things did occur the way they've been said they have. But there's another part of me that also questions, you know, goes, wow, you know, what if it's all wrong? You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of deep to think about, especially when you're going to bed, you know? Because then you have these weird, wicked dreams or these really cool dreams, you know? Something comes. I know I dreamt last night, but I sat there and I was thinking, is God real? Does God exist? Does God just exist in my mind? You know, I'm thinking, you know, I have faith in God. I believe in the universe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in that. But is that real? I mean, is that only real for the people who believe in that? So what happens to all these other, you know, you start to question. You start, you know, not questioning in the sense of, you know, defiance, but you question out of curiosity. You know, and I was kind of there last night. I was thinking, I know the moon shows, the moon, the sun. You know, I was going through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, that's interesting, you know.
I think we all go through those things sometimes, and even though, because I've had some miracles in my life that can't be scientifically explained,
mm-hmm.
but I do that also, and you just have to sometimes take life or take things on faith and believe that things will come, whatever you need is going to come to you. And that's the way I believe, too. I believe that whatever I need will come to me at the time it's supposed to come. And it usually does.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to worry too much about anything, but I do go there every once in a while.
And for me, it wasn't really a worry. It was just a questioning more than anything. I wasn't worried that, you know, my life, I'm going to go to hell. Or I wasn't thinking like that. It was more like, wow, you know, I've been duped in real life, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I've been duped by a lot of things, and I've duped myself into things, and I'm going, wow, you know, but you, like you said, you know, sometimes you just got to go with what feels good and what's right and what's important, but just think of all the different belief systems that are out there. They're all thinking the same thing. Well, I'm just mm-hmm. going to go with this because this is right and this is the way it is. I'm not about absolutes, you know, I'm not about absolute going, well, that religion's right and that one's wrong and this is, you know, because you know what? For them, that's not wrong, even though it doesn't resonate with me and with my spirit and my soul or whatever, it doesn't mean it doesn't resonate for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that God is everything or whatever to that person the way I look at God, because I look at God way different than a lot of people do. For me, God is very different, but so is for you, and so is for you, Mark. You know, we all see the universe very different. I use the word universe because I believe God is everything. You know, no one's really ever called me out on that, but for me, God, or whatever this thing is universal. It's much bigger than just planet Earth. And I think God gets put into this container of Earth, an earthly God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You don't hear the universal aspect of God like it used to be taught. You know, it's very different now. I remember, for me, God is so big in everything and infinite that you can't put God in a jar. You can't put that concept in a bottle like people try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God inspired people to write certain things like they say, oh, God is the inspiration of God, la, la, la. But there are a lot of inspirations of God. God has, he's multiverse, you know,
mm-hmm.
or she's multiverse, whatever it is. There's just so much, the aspect of this being, and so much can be perceived so differently as it is. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I like the term universe as well for
mm-hmm.
different reasons for my astrology background, but also too it's, I mean, I think it kind of encompasses everything, because I don't like language or terminology that unnecessarily limits things. So I like to, you know, I like universe, source, creator, whatever, because that kind of fits everything in, you know. And it's inclusive to many people's belief systems when you can put it in a. Because I don't really, you know, to be honest with you, I don't really care what you call your God.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm serious. I mean, it's, if you look at that, there's so many similarities between all the religions of the world in general. I mean, they have, most of them are 95% the same. You know, don't rape anyone, don't murder anyone,
mm-hmm.
help those who need it, do, you know,
be
good
rule.
To your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the other minutiae that's slightly different is just divisiveness that the powers that be use to keep all of us separated. Because, I mean, I firmly believe that, you know, the three of us sitting here, the average person in America has more in common with the average person sitting in Iraq or Turkey or China or whatever than we do with our, you know, politicians, our so-called anointed leaders or whatnot. I mean, 90% of the people on the earth just want to get up, make a living, have a roof over their heads, do stuff with their friends, get some enjoyment out of their life, take care of their kids or their family,
mm-hmm.
or whatnot. Everything else is really just skirting the issue and trying to cause, you know, conflict between people where there really isn't any. And that's the main function of governments, is to create fear and stuff to keep people shut off. And
mm-hmm.
you know, like the greatest, I mean, well, you know what direction I go down the rabbit hole. So I'm fairly...
I'll just put some water down there.
Conspiracy.
Get you back up.
Tell me some greens, yeah.
Couple of carrots.
So, I mean, the best phrase I've heard is, that, I mean, if you want to take every... And I'm going to credit David Icke on this. You can take... He took every conspiracy theory there is, every one of them,
mm-hmm.
and put it into one sentence. And the conspiracy is you sitting alone staring at a dot. And to me, that's what every conspiracy goes back to, is that everyone is separated and isolated, unconnected from everyone else, unconnected from our friends and all the other people on the earth, our star brothers, whatever, as far as you want to take that. And they just try to keep you isolated and focused on some random dot on the wall that keeps you separated from your universal greatness. And that's what every conspiracy is. Feeling, making you feel that you're different and powerless, and that your life is at the control of others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's reality is the exact opposite of that.
Very good.
Just like you said, that we're, even when we're not together, you know, I feel Katie's spirit, I feel Iggy's spirit, I feel Adriana's spirit, and David, and Anthony, and Mary,
mm-hmm.
and my other soul groups,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
that little soul tribes, and we're connected. And I know that when something happens, I know it's like, I know exactly what Iggy's thinking about this. Or I know what one of my other friends is thinking, they're seeing this, or...
That's true, and that's that. All my relations, you know, everything mm-hmm. connected. We're all one. We're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. But I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was, for me, it was important to share, you know, especially in the work I do. The work that I do is transcending time and space and moving into, you know, the hereafter and pulling back parts of you that's been frozen in time and try to fill the holes and that are empty, you know, the ones that you filled up with anger and rage and or sad or frustration, and to put back those pieces that, you know, we're dislodged, because we're all kind of walk around like Swiss cheese, and if the Swiss cheese isn't filled up, something else will fill it up. So that's shamanism in a nutshell, very small nutshell, but kind of the work I do. And you know, and I and it takes a lot of faith to do that too, to be able to know that you can help someone help themselves through the process, because you bring the pieces back doesn't mean that it necessarily they're going to be able to reintegrate it into their system, into their body. And then you're stuck with this integration piece that you have to send back, you know, or if they don't accept it and they're not ready to. And I've seen that in my work, you know, where you're on the cusp or someone's ready to integrate a piece and then they hold off and they're like, no, I'm not ready. You know, then this piece is floating again and then the universe takes it back, reclaims it until it needs to be brought back or never brought back at all if you don't want it back. So that's kind of what happens a lot. So for me, you know, those questions, you know, am I on the right path? Am I doing the work I'm supposed to be doing? Am I touching those lives? Because I am a human being and I also want to see results. I want to see people do well. I want, you know, you want to make sure that they're okay. You know, you don't want to just haphazardly throw them out there and, you know, expect, you know, that they can do it. They need a lot of tools and need a lot of help. And there's a lot of different avenues, a lot of different people that can be involved to help in the process. It's not just a one-man gig. And that's what's cool about all my friends that I have. You know, if I can't do something, I can say, well, you know, I got Katie. I got you know, Mark, I got Todd over here. I got, you know, David. I got all these other people who could probably help you out. They do this kind of work. So it's kind of like a team effort, which is kind of cool. I love it. So that's important. And we all, you know, create this synergistic, you know, group of healers. So kind of that's kind of where I wanted to go with that. So I'm glad you gave me the floor
for that. I mean, it's absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times. I mean, I'm one of my peeps I'm close with. I mean, I'll be, you know, messaging with him or talking to him on Facebook, and then, you know, three of my other ones pop up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saying, oh, did you see this? Or what do you think? You know, and it's like I've had five different messages going at the same time telling me the same thing.
Right.
At that, you know, hey, did you catch this? And it's like, yep. You know, collective unconscious.
That's awesome.
Where we pick stuff up, you know, and your people with your same vibrational energy are picking up the same stuff.
Nice.
And it's.
I saw this post on Facebook. They'll have it on with Insights, their Facebook page we have. It says, legend says, when you can't sleep at night, it's because you're awake in someone else's dream. I thought that was pretty significant. So for all of those of you who can't sleep,
right.
You're in somebody else's dream.
Right.
That must have been happening last night, because yeah. I didn't really fall asleep till about 2:30 going on 3 o'clock.
If you would like to keep me out of your dream, send 1995 to
1995. So someone was dreaming about me. Ooh, that must have been nice. That was a good dream.
That's one of my favorite quotes from Buddha. There is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path.
But
happiness is the path.
Stop trying to change the world. Love the world. That changes everything.
Right, and you know, so, what's been a tough lesson for me throughout many years, I'm finally starting to get it through my thick head, is that, you know, things don't necessarily happen at the speed or the time that we would like to them,
mm-hmm.
like them to happen, if I were speaking in complete sentences. But, you know, I'm finding that everything happens exactly as it's supposed to, and exactly in the right time it's supposed to. So I find I was really just wasting an insane amount of energy trying to force things to happen before they were supposed to, or forcing things to come together that weren't supposed to, and it's like, oh my gosh, no, I mean, no wonder I was exhausted half the time. I was constantly trying to force something that wasn't supposed to happen, you know, yet in that time frame or in that period, or maybe something wasn't supposed to happen at all. But it's like, you know, just to sheer force, you can take something that's not supposed to work and make it work for a while, but but you know, as you put your energy out there and let it come back to you like it's supposed to, then it's like it's really, life is not supposed to be as difficult as we make it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I am my own worst enemy a lot of times.
I mean, there are some factors, you know,
I am,
that we can't help, like, you know, natural causes like Mother Nature, but I think the things that we can control, that we think that we can't, I think I agree with you a lot. I think sometimes we just get our big butt in the way, you know,
right?
And we drag that anchor around like it's never going to come off.
And, you know, I was talking to Adriana and Mary at the drum circle Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and down at Ash Cave there, I said the same thing. You know, it's, you come to a point where it's like, and we're not supposed to be, like we said earlier about waiting for other people to take charge and stuff, but like I said to them, it's, I'm going to make this I'm going to make this side career I have, I'm going to make this work. I'm not accepting no. So when you have something that, once you get sure of it, that it's your path, that it's what you're supposed to be doing, what your calling is, then on the same level, everything may not come to you exactly when you want it to, but I've decided I'm not taking no as an answer for as far as what I'm going to do to sustain myself and for my career and to stuff like that. It's going to be some bumps and some challenges, but I'm going to figure it out.
Why don't you just say yes?
No.
Instead of
right,
no.
Right.
Say
it's not.
Yes, I'm in there.
It's not. I try not to. On big things, I try not to ask, is this going to happen, or I hope this happens. I'm saying, okay, this is going to happen. I'm going to make this. If it's something that I know that is right, I'm saying, this is going to happen, and I'm going to do what I need to do to make this happen.
But I think you're already doing it. You know, I mean, from my point of view, I see you doing it. I see you doing it. Maybe it's not the way you want it to look.
Right.
You know, maybe you have some other factors that need to be included in that only you know. Because I'm the same way. You know, but there's no way, you know, I sit here sometimes and I do side jobs and work and I'm thinking, that's not where I want to be. Even though I do need it to, you know, get me to where I need to be, I have to be where I have to at this point. I need to arrive, like a journey, not necessarily a destination. But I can't go back to my old life. I don't want to go back to my old life.
Oh,
so my old life does not serve me in the way that, in the capacity that I wanted it to. But now I have to become a creative. I have to become, you know, okay,
yes.
Let's see. Maybe I might have to get some more schooling. Maybe I need to learn some other modalities. Maybe I need to do something. You know, I have to learn my craft.
Yes.
I have to go to classes. And that's what all the great teachers do. You know, these great motivational speakers, they go to everybody's, just about everybody's stuff that is being promoted. And that's how they learn from one another. You know, that's how they keep in the flow. You have to keep in the flow in the thing that you're doing. You know, you can never say that you're there. You know, you're never complete. You know, it's never done. You're always learning. You're always going to keep moving. And the more you can learn, the better. Because astrology hasn't really changed much, right, over a millennia, right? Except for the alignments of the actual planets and the way they move.
Right, right.
Right?
The basic knowledge has stayed the same, but there's, you know, there's updates of things. But, I mean, I'm trying... Like, what I'm doing with that is I'm trying to broaden it out and evolve it as much as possible.
Right.
Because I don't think everyone understands the implications and the things you can use it for. I mean, I study earthquakes, natural disasters, sports astrology, political astrology, culture. I look at the charts of countries, cities, states, and agencies.
And I agree with you. Like, my hair stands up on mine.
Yeah.
And that's important, Mark, because, you know, and Katie, because even shamanism has its roots. You know, like, everything has its roots. But there's also an evolution within that as well. Because a lot of the work that I do is an evolution of my belief and the things, how I see the world, too, and how I, you know, connect with it. The way maybe an old shaman connects to the world doesn't work for me in that aspect. But it does, but it doesn't at the same time. But there's a lot of things that I've evolved and created out of my own, you know, belief system, deep core stuff, in order to be able to share what is inside of me, through me, coming through, you know, because it doesn't necessarily work the same way. We live in a different culture and we live in a different way. And I think that's where religion starts getting a bad rap, because they kind of try to keep the old system and try to use it. And people can't quite understand it because we've evolved. We're smarter, we're quicker, we move faster. We process faster. The kids, they are even faster than us. They're a higher, you know, microprocessor chip, and they're trying to feed it DOS, you know, and it just doesn't work. And DOS for kids, you know, they're beyond DOS, you know. Some old people, my in-laws are probably still in DOS, but, you know, I'm kind of in the Windows, you know, phasing out of Windows into whatever this new thing's coming. And, you know, I hear kids talking about Linux and these new, you know, browsing. I'm on the bus with these boys, and I don't hear anything that's familiar to how I grew up. You know, I'm like, wow, they're evolved. They're complete. And they're talking about creating a new platform, you know, that should be like this. And I always encourage them, hey, you know what? You ought to do that. oh, well, you know, I'm like, what do you mean, well, what do you know?
Bill Gates,
someone, his mom gave him $2,000, threw him in a garage, and they built things together, and they were lucky that it pulled, it worked, you know? Was it the best? Not necessarily. Is it still the best? Not necessarily. But you know what? It's about sending the message, too, and this is important. This is something I wanted to get on, is sending that message. I watched a movie last night. It was called, it was with Barbara Streisand and Seth Rogen. It was called...
Road trip.
They were on a road trip, but it was... But it was a mom and dad.
She was the mom.
Yeah, she was the mom.
And he was the son.
He was a scientific kid. He's very brainy, and he created this cleaning solution, and it was called...
I saw that movie.
Cyclo Clean or whatever. See.
And he had to change the name of it so it could sell.
Something
better.
Like that. But the point was this, which was really interesting, was that his whole purpose was to get his mom on the road trip so she could meet an ex-boyfriend that she had fallen in love with. Okay, so there was a lot of things that were bringing him to this point in time. But like you were saying, he was taking his chemical that you can actually drink it, and he was trying to promote it and show it, and it wasn't selling. That these big buyers weren't buying it from him. And it was great product, and it was la-la-la, and this and that. And then his mom was like, in one of the scenes, she's like hearing his pitch, and she's like, well, why don't you change the label? And she's like, why don't you change the menta? And why don't you, what's so special about it? And can you put it on your arm and then not lick you, clean you? And, you know, there was this one part where they went to Costco, and I thought this was really important because she had a little hook, this little hook that hooks the purse, and it was a purse holder. And the guy was just ignoring his product and looking, what is that? And it's a little hook. She goes, oh, it's just a little hook thing. I think it got on Amazon. And she's like, he was like really intrigued by it. He's like, and the guy's like, well, what about my product? Look over here, you know. Finally got the guy's attention. And the guy's like, oh, what is this? Clean product. And then he started doing the same thing, and he was talking to everybody. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't get a word in because the guy was talking to the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like trying to keep her out of the shuffle. You know, he thought she'd ruin it. He's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, you ought to change the label and la, 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 and this and that. She goes, yeah, we're talking about that. He's like, no, we're not talking about it. Well, he was so caught up in what he had created, you know, his creation, that, you know, he was blinded by his own, you know, intellect.
Mm-hmm.
He was so blinded by it. He was like, no, I got it. It has to be like this. I spent all this money on these labeling. And then at the final scene of the movie, you know, his mom and that Hearn, they got a little scuff, they got a little argument, so they kind of, and he was in the Home Shopping Network. They were doing, like, all these people had products they wanted to promote on Home Shopping Network, and it was a live feed, it was a recorded feed, and he didn't know that. And then he started doing the same thing like he's done with everybody else, got the coconut out, got the palm out, and then he got the soy out to clean, and his mom had told him, you know, ask people about their families, la, 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 be more personal. And then all of a sudden, he goes, yeah, you guys aren't getting this, are you? And they're like, no. He goes, hey, do you have a dog? And, you know, he just started being more personal. He started doing what his mom taught him on this road trip. And he just started, like, letting down those walls that, you know, sometimes you may not have all the answers. And sometimes you may have the creation, but there's other people who take your, once you lay the seeds, the flowers start to grow. There's other people who know how to prune it and take care of it. So, you know, he learned a valuable lesson. I think that happens in our business, in the holistic business we're in, you know, in the metaphysical realm. And sometimes we're so locked in that things have to be this way that we have no flexibility. We can't do that, you know. That my great-great ancestors did that. We can't do that. Or my Reiki is better than your Reiki, you know. But, you know, I think that's the evolution of our craft is very important. And it has to evolve. It has to evolve. It has to be flexible.
And listen to people around you. Listen to your peers, your people that come to you for service. Everybody has ideas and something to bring to the table.
So absolutely.
You have to do that in order to, you know, be in the marketplace, so to speak.
You know, I'm looking at this bottled water in front of me, and I'm looking at his bottled water. I mean,
and then I've got a bottle
of water. And you have a bottle of water. And I'm thinking the one occurring theme on these bottles that there is blue and there's white on here, you know? And that's one thing that's reoccurring. But what makes that bottle of water better than that bottle of water and this bottle of water, you know? And just because his says Fiji on it, mine says Niagara, and yours says Pura Aqua, you know, labeling's important in how you present yourself and how you let people know who you are and what you do. I think sometimes we don't have a good business calling. You know, we don't have a good 30-second spiel or 10-second spiel on what we do. And I think that's one of the things. Don't you agree?
Yes, that's definitely something I need to.
And I think we all do. And
work
it also
on as well.
And I think you have to have more than one.
Yeah, I'm speaking at a conference in a couple of weeks. I'm doing 2 different lectures, and it's like, you know, it's hard to write a bio. It's
mm-hmm.
hard to, you know, write a encapsulation.
Sure. Because that's not what you are.
Right, right, right.
You're not a encapsulation. You're much more than that.
How do I fit myself into a
yeah, when
two
a,
paragraphs or, you know?
No, you can't. But, you know, but when you do, then you forget something, and then, you know, then next thing you know, everybody thinks you just do that. And, you know, because I know you do more than just astrology, and I do more than just, you know, shamanic work and medicine work. There's a lot of the things I do. But, you know, someone taught me a long time ago, you have to have a 30-second, you know, spiel. But it goes beyond that. Now it's 10 seconds. You lose them in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 30.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 10. In 10 seconds, you have to be able to say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, and keep them and captivate them at that point. And that's why I carry business cards with me, you know, and pictures talk. You know, when they see pictures, like, wow, you know, well, you know, get to the PowerPoints. Sometimes we put way too much stuff on our business card. And then the next thing you know, people are like, well, you know, you become Walmart instead of, you know, the Walmart, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't look at you as value. Now they look at you like, oh, wow, you've collected a lot of stuff, but how does that apply to me? You know, because I like my massage therapist, and so I don't want to offend you because you're a massage therapist. She's an astrologer, but I don't want to go to her because I like you. You know, so there's got to be a way to, you know, teach practitioners that, you know, what we do is important and valued, but, you know, maybe it's more about who we are versus what we do, you know, what we bring to the table. You know, this is what I do. This is my work. You know, keywords are important. Boom, 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 and getting there. And so that's something that I've also been working on and, you know, trying to make sure that the work that I'm doing is valuable and has value in the world as well.
Totally, totally agree. I found a really good article last night it was on LinkedIn from, I have a friend that owns a bar called The Shrunken Head here in town,
mm-hmm.
and they're bringing this is one of my old, longtime friends, and they're bringing a band into town, and they'd actually, one of the writers who writes content for LinkedIn had did an article on them because it's all about how to market yourself. And they said like two of the main keys now, if you do a lot of your business through social media and stuff, is to, you know, always be friendly and communicate and interact with people, and then also follow up on your weak connections,
mm-hmm.
your secondary connections, and, you know, engage people, get them involved in what you're doing and helping to, you know, get people involved,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, ask for input and get conversations going, you know, discuss things.
Sure. Because follow up is one thing, and then following through is another.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Because you have to follow through as well. Some people just go through the follow up, and then they don't go through the follow through. That's what you're talking about,
right?
You know, getting people engaged and getting them into that rhythm with you, and to get, you know, I hate to say it, but we're selling ourselves. We're promoting ourselves, and we have to be our best promoters if we can. You know, some people can't do that. Hire people to do that, but we're not at that. We're not there. We're not at that. We may never be there. Most people are never there. They have to self-promote constantly. It's important. It's super important to learn those business aspects. And I've taken business classes just to teach myself a little bit. But it always changes. It's always evolving. And I always recommend people to do that, even online or whatever, because the business we're in, even though it's a spiritual business and it's something that we're trying to, you know, hold with great reverence, well, if we don't do it right, we're not going to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to eat well. Let's put it that way. And if you want to eat well, then you need to promote. Like, it's not necessarily a job. Don't look at it as your job, because it's just above broke. That's what job means. Okay? So look at it as an adventure and as a journey, that it means something to you. When you look at people who are very successful and people who are very, very into what they do, they believe 100% that that's what they're going to do, and they do it well. And they study upon that like it's no tomorrow. And they don't veer from that path. Very rarely. They only veer from those paths when they've got to that point to go off and do other things. But a lot of us go off and do so many different things that we sidetrack ourselves. You know, so that's why for me it's very super important now. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay focused on this path. It's going to be hard. It could be easy. But if I stay focused on what I'm doing, then I don't get sidetracked. Then I'll be okay. Like I was in the restaurant business. If I was still there, I should be focused on the restaurant business and know the whole business inside and out, like I did. But when there's a part of you that doesn't want to be there, and there's a part of you that wants to be over here, it's very difficult to be in the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you're in the holistic field, you're in the metaphysical field, and you're in these fields, know that the end is that you want to be there. And there are other things that are helping you get to that point. Use them as vehicles to get you to where you need to be. But your focus has to be, this is what I'm doing. Learn everything you can about it, and do not be shy about sharing. And being shy is the worst thing, because, you know, if you don't talk, you don't open your mouth, no one will ever know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you'll never know. And you talk about it, you know, and you talk about it in a way that it's empowering, versus, you know, you're teaching somebody or giving people a bunch of digested information. You know, if you talk about astrology, instead of calling it astrology, you could call it something else. You know, I'm
wisdom from the stars.
I'm a stargazer. You know, or whatever, or what do you do? Oh, I'm multifaceted, universal. You know, whatever, and it gets people to go, what the hell is that? You know,
I have a phrase I use called looking at world events and things through the astrological lens. I call it astro-conspiratology. So that's a phrase that I like to use. Another thing they mentioned in this LinkedIn article too was you've got to be ready to jump in an instant at an opportunity. Because things happen all the time where you get a chance or an opportunity, it floats by, but you got to be ready to grab it.
Because
sometimes it's a small window.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's so true.
And sometimes you got to say, "Hey, I can teach that class. I can be at that lecture. I can be on that radio show."
Yeah.
And even if you don't have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, it's like, you know what, you fill in the gaps as you go, and you.
I've interviewed and I've done these shows for 8 years. Okay, and I'll tell you right now. Every person who I've ever interviewed, or any topic that we had planned to do, you know, we talk a little bit about it, but then Spirit goes, you know what, that's not what it's about. You know, I've had people on this show that, you know, they gave me a list of things they wanted to talk about. Once you go through that list, you know, you better be ready to, you know, move on. And, you know, and I learned real quick, you know, that how to keep it going. Sometimes I jump around. And it throws the person being interviewed off a little bit. Oh, you didn't ask me that question. Well, you know what? Maybe my people don't want to know about bread being need. You know, they want to know.
Right.
You know.
Right,
you know.
Right.
You know, there's just some things that need to be. You just know intuitively, and you're right. You have to jump on opportunities. They are. People say doors close all the time, but you know what? Windows open. There's cracks in the house.
Yep.
There's the cellar door. There's 100 million ways to get into that house. You know, into that aspect you're looking at. Just because the front door's locked doesn't mean something's not unlocked. And you can't give up. You can't quit. The biggest thing is we get to that point over the hill and we just don't go over because we're just so tired, we're fatigued. And you know, once we get there, you'd be surprised when you get to the top and you're going, wow, look at that. I got to climb another one. But you know what?
You look out at the horizon.
You know, you get there and then you're like, wow, there's more to learn. There's more to go to. But once you get here, you're more comfortable. You're more seasoned. You're more ready. And I've learned that for myself, you know, working.
It builds your stamina for the rest of the journey. Each hill you climb and each mountain you tackle, you gain more strength and more stamina to keep going.
Absolutely. And another thing that I learned very quickly in business is to know when to shut up
Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
Not,
I'll tell
not
right
a
now.
Strong point of mine, but
right?
I'm working on it.
There's a point where you have to know when to be quiet and when to listen and when to mm-hmm. engage. There's an old saying is the first person that speaks loses. There is some truth to that. But there also is a point too where, you know, there has to be some closure there. You know, but some people take it wrong. But there is times when the customer wants to ask questions and whatever, mm-hmm. and you've sold them. And you have to just sit there and listen, and you have to let them finish and process because they're digesting all that information, you know, that they have no clue about. They're only trying to make it in within, a 30 an hour a minute, you know, and within that range. Mm-hmm. They can never process. They're only going to hear the key points of things that they've listened to. It doesn't matter if you're in a lecture. It doesn't matter. People will always go. It's like shopping. You go to the store, and you take what you want off the shelf. We don't go to the shelf and just go, just knock everything into our cart. No, we don't do that. Then when our minds take in all the information, then we take the pieces and parts that resonate with us. And that's what we do in business. And in business, we have to be able to, you know, understand that when to key in and key out. And that was one thing I learned in the restaurant business, being a bartender. You had to know when to key in and key out and move over here and move over there. You know, because you can't stay in one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Tending and being a good bartender. You know, I use that example because that's where I was. You have to know how to flow into this next one. You have to be like a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. Butterfly doesn't take nectar from just one mm-hmm. flower. There's plenty of flowers. Boom, boom, that shares. And the flower gives to them. The butterfly gives to the flower. So there's a give and take. You know, there's a cause and effect happening. And that's how we should be as practitioners as well.
Well, and you know, too, you know, I take a lot of cues from the animal kingdom, because there's a lot of, when you look into the habits and things of animals, there's a reason that there are certain animals that we see a lot
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And, you know, like you're saying, butterflies, bees, mm-hmm. you know, there would be no life on Earth without bees.
Mm-hmm.
And just look how they cross-pollinate between things. They pick
right.
up, they pick up information or pollen, food, sugar from one plant, take it to another,
right.
and take it to another flower. Same thing with a butterfly. It goes from, you know, picking up little bits of nutrition or information,
mm-hmm.
energy from one thing, and they spread it around. And that's how, I mean, that's kind of how the human organism works as well, too.
Right.
Is we cross-pollinate.
Yeah, we put our seeds in. Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
true.
Right.
Call it what it is, right?
Same thing,
yeah.
you know. Same thing with the deer. There was a Native American article I'd read a long time ago talking about how, you know, the deer live around people for a reason. It's so we can see them and watch them, because we have a lot to learn from deer.
Because
mm-hmm. you know they're able to camouflage themselves very well, but yet they have social groups, you know, right just within the city. I mean,
right.
all over in the
sure.
in the middle of the city I see deer.
True.
And they're able to live off the land very easily, you know, and it's...
Most of the metro parks have plenty of deer in them.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of little hints and things we can catch just from observing the animals that are, you know, around us.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely.
And so that's even kind of a cross-pollinization of knowledge between species even.
Very good. Let's take a little break here and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. This is Lunchtime Wisdom. This is our Tuesday show with Mark Matheny, Katie Mack, Singing Eagle over here, and Iggy Garcia. We're talking about just a little bit of everything, kind of rolling around. We ended up on a business talk a little bit, which was pretty good because Even holistic practitioners and metaphysicians, they all are trying to make a living in with the field they're in. And you know what? Even though we have the gifts of spirit, like we all do, and we get to share it, we also are in the real world where people are shopping around for different types of people and different types of work. And so it doesn't exclude us, you know, from that, that we have to market, we have to sell ourselves, promote ourselves. And so, but I want to take it to the last half of the segment here of our show is I believe that even the work that we do, there has to be something that a motivating factor that pushes us to it. And I don't think healing people is enough. You know, I hear people say, oh, I'm in it because I want to heal people. Maybe that's where you started. Maybe that's where you're still at. But I also believe there's some aspects of things that you also want for your life. You want to heal as well. You mm-hmm. want to be able to live better, to have a better home, have a better car. We don't work just, you know, just to work. We want to share the gifts. So I believe that also metaphysicians and holistic practitioners and, you know, all the whole gamut of what we're talking about encompasses is to have that, you know, that motivating factor, that dream, that thing, that core energy, that core thing that brings you to that point, that focus point. It's different for everybody. You know, some people don't want to have a job. So that's a core motivating factor right there. You know, I want to be my own boss. So I'll do everything in my power to be my own boss. So I have to learn all the things that, you know, a person who's self-sufficient, a person who's self-employed will do. You know, getting up early or working late at night or just working at night, you know, depending how you want your schedule to look. You can tailor your schedule to however you want.
Oh, and I'll tell you, that's part of my life that I'm loving right now because I don't, I only function moderately well in a, you know, the 9-to-5 world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can do it, and I've done it for years, and, you know, worked multiple jobs at a time, and done the Monday through Friday thing and stuff, but this, where I'm at now just fits my reality better, because I'm more of a, you know, now I get to spend my days doing research and mm-hmm. working on stuff, and then, you know, a lot of my work is in the evenings now, when I'm doing readings, teaching classes,
sure.
doing expos, whatnot. So I kind of work on research and getting articles, blogs, stuff for books together, stuff for my classes ready, research for readings. And then, so then in the evening I go out and I'm doing readings or whatnot. So, and that fits my schedule because I'm not like a,
mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, my brain is really not that fun. I'm not a morning mm-hmm. person. So
except for Tuesday.
Right. I've become more of one, but this is. Mm-hmm. But that leads. I'm gonna take a cheap shot here. I'm gonna take a cheap shot at some of the astrological community here. So, here's one of my pet peeves about the old school astrology people.
Yeah, it sounds like this, right?
As I'm.
Sorry, I had to
do that.
You
got my relatives calling in again. Yeah, but there's a lot of the people who so stuck in the old school stuff with astrology. Like I've run across discussion groups and blogs where people are saying stuff like, "Well, all the new astrologers are crap. Only the old group is good and stuff because everybody just jumps on and starts a blog or." You know, promotes themselves via the internet and stuff, and we do, you know, it's all about old school books and all this. And I'm like, really? It's like this, you know, technology is not it doesn't come naturally to me. I've had to work very hard, mm-hmm. and I'm not a good self-promoter. It's taken a lot of work and effort on mine, because I really don't, even though I get on here and blab all the time, I don't think I have a whole ton of ego. It's hard for me to pimp myself, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's taken me anything, you know, setting up a blog and a website and radio shows and speaking at conferences and stuff, it's taken a lot of effort on my part because I'm very, you know, being my natural Pisces fishiness, you know, I'm very comfortable sitting in the background, and, you know, it's not easy to, or it's not comfortable all the time to, mm-hmm. you know, try and promote myself and to, you know, put yourself out there. But this is what I want to do with my life. I feel I do more good for the planet when I'm helping people and, you know, trying to help them with problems or give them some additional insight that may be of use than I am locked in a warehouse somewhere for some gigantic corporation that doesn't appreciate me. Oh, I guess that was two cheap shots, wasn't it?
Okay.
So maybe I should just go for the hat trick. But that's...
Go, Mark, go.
But that's what it is. You know, I'm not in any way, shape, or form cutting on, hey, I worked in corporate America for 30 years. And, you know, worked multiple jobs a lot of the time. You do what you need to do to survive. It just got to a point where I don't think I was really growing anymore being stuck in a warehouse 10 to 15 hours a day. You know, it was no longer feeding my soul, and I could not exist at that vibrational level anymore. So it's not that I'm no superstar, no genius or anything. I couldn't exist in that world anymore. And so this is, you know, it's not easy for me to promote myself and put events and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not how I roll normally.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of, I have to channel a lot of other energy to, you know?
Yeah, and I believe there's also there's a fine line too about promoting yourself as well without coming across needy.
Right.
Or too arrogant, mm-hmm. you know, or coming across like just put people off. You don't want to be that guy, you know. You don't want to be,
right.
you know, no, you know, this guy's pent, you know.
Arrogant, right.
You know, so I try to work on that when I do events and when I do things because I don't want to be, I also don't want to be, you know, casted into a mold either.
Right.
That's all I do.
Right.
So I try to change things up that I do as well. You know, so it's important.
Have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be too out there, too cocky or arrogant, but yet you don't want to be too humble to where you can't speak up or promote yourself.
And that happens a lot. People are very humble and they feel like, well, you know, and a lot of it's self-conscious. You know,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, a lot of us guys and people who are in this business, in the metaphysical, you know, world, in this holistic world, you know, some of us are a little bit shy about, you know, if we're going to get our points across. You just mentioned that you're, not because you're a Pisces, just because it's human nature to think, well, maybe the guy next, that another guy is better than me. Now, there are people in our business who are just, they don't think like that, but there are a lot of us who think like that. Oh, I don't know, but, you know, I always encourage people, you know, share, you know, you never know. You will touch somebody's heart. You will open something up in somebody that will follow you, they will believe in you. I'm not looking for to be a guru in any way. That's not my game plan at all. The only thing I'm trying to do is be a part of the collective to help, be part of all my relations, and be in that group that, you know, is able to share the information I get. There are other people who their main goal is to be a godlike figure and share what, and that's not wrong, because there are people who need that.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, there's people who, you know, want to obtain, you know, Nirvana, or what is awakening, or that
enlightenment,
you know. But, you know, there are enlightened moments. That's the way I look at it. Every time we go into something, there are enlightened moments instead of us looking for attaining enlightenment. You know, it's like looking for the what is it, in the ocean they have the lighthouse. You know it's there. And then when you get hit by it, you're like, oh, I'm here. And then you're like, okay. You know?
It comes back around.
Okay, I got hit again. You know? But there's enlightened moments. Enlightened moments are like when you have these realizations that you know something, and that you've tasted something, that you've observed something, that you've felt something that nobody else has felt ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's your chance to share what that person's never felt, taste, or smelled, you know? Like at that garden, I saw this little light. I closed my eyes and I saw this little light, and it was opening up like this inside my head. I'd never experienced it. That was the first, and I tried to recapture that moment. Because I heard you guys coming around the corner, and I wanted to share. Then I went, closed my eyes, and I couldn't find that little light again. You know, but that was an enlightened moment. That was one of those moments where you just know that was an enlightened moment. where you saw something that were the that you know the great you know teachers always talk about. The enlightened moments only last seconds or minutes, and that's it. You know, when you get to those points, they only last for a very short time.
A few minutes, and that's it. It's like being up in Missouri, and I saw the elementals gathering, and they were around us. And then a moment after that, I didn't see them again. But then another time, I saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, should I ask Cloud Piler about it or shouldn't I? And then I mentioned it to him. And he said, oh, yeah, we have this land here attracts elementals because it has some sort of mineral or some sort of vibe or something in the area. Because I didn't know if he believed in elementals or not, but I found out by just asking him about it.
Okay.
So you never know who is for you and who believes the same way you do and what things will enlighten you.
Right.
And just like some people do want a guru or a shaman or some kind of spiritual leader, and I've been asked to be someone's guru several times by several different people,
mm-hmm.
and I have to tell them no because I'm not one of those people you want to put up on a pedestal because I've had this happen where people have put me on a pedestal and then I do something off color or irreverent and they'll see that wicked side of me or that bad side of me instead of Miss Holy and Light because
right.
I do have that bad wicked side and you all know about that.
Very
but
good.
No, you shouldn't put anybody up on a pedestal. Even gurus, and I know several gurus and swamis in the Eastern religions and that are over thousands of people, and they try to tell people, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't see me as I'm a holy person, but don't see me because as so much. But reverence the source, reverence creator, reverence God, don't reverence me. But people do. They want to do that. So, and there's a lot of humble people out there and a lot of humble leaders, and then there's those leaders that like to be put up there, like you said,
mm-hmm.
put on a pedestal, and they want to be seen as this holy, God-like person on this earth. But then once they do fall and once their humanness does show, then you have all these people flocking to them, and then you see in the news or something happened, and then they're just like I've seen churches go from 3,000, 4,000 people to maybe down to a few hundred because that person who was put up on that pedestal fell and became human for a little while. And so everybody's like, oh, they're not what they said they were. Let me go. Instead of worshiping source or creator, they're worshiping man.
Right.
And you should never worship man.
Right. Totally. Yeah, because I mean, I'm not any better or any more special than anybody that's out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have some different perspectives that maybe mm-hmm. people don't hear. So
true.
That's the point. I mean, I'm a conduit. Just like I run across weird
true.
Information and try to share it with people.
Okay.
So I think that's what my purpose is here.
Right.
Yeah, not any better than anybody else on the planet.
That's true. I mean, that's the way I feel. I mean, I just have certain gifts that I have, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you do too.
We're just being used.
And I like being used in the way I'm being used.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people too that, I mean, you know, for a long time I kind of did this, you know, working in a corporate environment is, you know, you have a lot of people on a day-to-day basis you can share information with
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and now it's like doing the radio shows and blogs and stuff like that is maybe just a way to reach different people or more people, different crowd of people to, you know, pass along information to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, our time is just about to end, guys, and I want to say thank you for being on the show today. On Tuesday, we'll be back next week at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time here in Columbus, Ohio. We hope you enjoyed the show. You want to find Mark? Why don't you give us your website information?
www.markmessini.com.
Okay, and Katie?
I'm Katie Singing Eagle on Facebook.
Okay. And I'm Iggy Garcia at iggygarcia.com or on Facebook, Iggy Garcia Hoop Watcher. And with that, I want to say enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great time. Time for lunch. Later.
La, la, la.
Ciao.
Ding, 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 ding.